Empire.
Welcome to the latest edition of All's Caps with former Capitals defenseman Carl Osner. I'm AP hockey writer Steve Wino. We are joined by NBC Sports Washington's JJ Reagan. JJ, thanks for joining us.
Oh, I'm pumped. Ever since Carl's stupid questions became a thing, I've been waiting breathlessly for my turn at this, so I'm pumped to be here.
So, Carl, I'm hoping you have some special questions here because JJ is actually prepared for this.
Yeah, I mean, I got a couple. We'll see. I'm sure I can. There's a couple new ones in there, so I think I'll hopefully get some good answers from you.
We'll get to that a little bit later. Carl and I remiss to not mention the death of Mike Bossy last week. Alex Ovechkin obviously not so recently now passed Mike Bossy on the scoring list, but just a guy who was one of the greatest goal scorers in NHL history, a great human being, somebody who their career was over a 10-year period of time, won the Stanley Cup 4 times. I'm curious both your guys' thoughts on just kind of the legacy of Mike Bossy, and I know he's not a Capitals guy, but somebody who kind of transcends the Islanders and Long Island.
Yeah, JJ, I'd love for you to go hit on this first if you can, and then I got a couple things. Just looking at his stat line, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the thing about Mike Bossy is he's held as one of the greatest players of all time, and the dude played 10 seasons.
Right.
Yeah, you know, he's tied with Wayne Gretzky for the most 50-goal seasons. He played 10 seasons. I mean, this guy legitimately could have given Wayne Gretzky a run for his money if his career hadn't been hampered by injuries. So someone that's probably not talked about as much in the pantheon of all-time greats as he should be, just an all-time great scorer. And, you know, it's his, even with that, his career is still, man, what could have been?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's like when you think of best players all time, like people go Gretzky, Lemieux, they go, you know, Bobby Orr, Gordie Howe. They no one ever brings up Mike Bossy. And, you know, I didn't watch him enough to know if he was terrible defensively or something like that, or what he did to not be in that category. But
I think it's longevity. I think that's got to be one of the reasons, right?
Yeah, but longevity. Yeah, but consistency, like that's consistent hockey right there. Like who's been more consistent than that, you know, in 10 years? Like that's just wild. And even that last year that he played, like I had, that's just up here. He only played 63 games and he still had 38 goals. Like the way that he scores, he might have been able to get up to 50 again. You know, it's just insane to think that. I had no idea when I really dug into it after hearing that he passed away. Like that to me is just mind blowing. Like I can't even believe it.
Yeah, and he had no one scored more goals per game over his career than Mike Bossy. That speaks to that consistency.
Yeah, he's the boss. That's all it is right there. It's very, very sad. I mean, that's 3 Islanders, right? This year
from that era.
It's just awful. That whole area is probably hurting right now. It's especially the people who are fans in that era.
Yeah, and the Islanders a little after that era kind of gave the Capitals fits. We got the Pat LaFontaine, the Easter Epic. There's a history of the Capitals and the Islanders in that sense too. But you also played that series against the Islanders. You said it was like a really tough series to play in.
Oh yeah, I think it was the hardest series I've ever played. Hardest playoff series I've ever played in. That, and it was honestly mainly because of their fourth line. No one ever thinks that, but that fourth line at that time, or for like a 3 or 4 year stretch, was for sure the best fourth line in hockey, and they still play together, you know, like it's pretty crazy. So yeah, that was the hardest series. So I have a respect factor for the Islanders.
Yeah. The Islanders are coming in here on, I guess, Monday night or whatever, Tuesday night next week. One of the final games of the regular season, a couple games against them, and also the Rangers coming up. Ultimately, winning and losing these games, how the Penguins do, is going to, maybe how the Bruins do, is going to determine which team the Capitals face in the playoffs. And we've all kind of had this exchange privately on text message about kind of who the best or worst matchup for the Capitals are. And I'm curious first with you, JJ, who's the, and look, right now it looks like it's either going to be Carolina, the Rangers, or the Panthers. And so let's use those three as the possibilities. What's the best and what's the worst matchup for the Caps in the first round of among those teams?
Well, the best matchup, and I'll give it the caveat, if Freddie Anderson is going to miss time or he's a question mark, then the best matchup there is Carolina. Carolina is deeper than the Capitals are. They're better than the Capitals are. But Carolina is also a bit emotional. You can drag them into a physical battle, and that benefits the Caps because the Caps are at their best when they play a physical style. So I think the Capitals can sort of can lure them into a physical battle. If Freddie Anderson is there, then I'd probably go with Rangers because, you know, I know a hot goalie can make up for a lot. And so, you know, careful what you wish for there because Igor Shesterkin is about a year away from being the best goalie in the world. So maybe he can carry the Rangers, but he's carried the Rangers all year. They're not as good as their record. It says they are. The worst matchup is definitely Florida. I mean, they are an offensive buzzsaw, and the Capitals' biggest weakness is goaltending. That is not
a good mix, right?
Yeah, that's not a good mix. And I know people are already bringing this up, and I brought this up in our little text message. It said, how long until people start comparing the Panthers to the 2010 Capitals? Okay, fair. You know, they score all the time. They allow teams to build up big leads, and they have to come back. They're goaltending, a little suspect in the playoffs. Okay, all that is fair. The reason the Capitals lost, all those were factors, but the biggest issue that the Capitals faced in that series was that there was a goalie who went absolutely bananas and nuts and shut them down completely. Do the Capitals have that? It doesn't seem like they do at this point. So I'm not sitting there saying, 2010 Caps can definitely beat the Panthers. I think that would be by far the worst matchup.
Yeah, but did anyone think that the Habs had it either, right? They didn't think that they had it in Halak, and he just kind of did that. So, you know, fingers crossed that maybe they do have it. But I agree with you. Everything you said is exactly the way I feel. I feel like the Rangers would be, like, the way that I see the series, I think the Panthers one, and we know things can change, but Panthers one would be not good. The Rangers one would be fun because I think it could be emotional. I think it would be the Madison Square Garden is an unbelievable place to play. I think the energy would be great. So I think that would be a really fun series to play in. I think it would be fun for fans as well. The Carolina one, I've always just been I don't understand the Carolina Hurricanes. they keep doing so good. They have great records. But for whatever reason, it's just one of those teams that hasn't fully gotten my full respect, I guess you could say, is what the honest opinion is, when they definitely deserve it. But it's a history, I guess, that I have in my own mind about the Carolina Hurricanes. So, but yeah, as you said, if Anderson's out, that to me is the number one matchup. But I would really like to see Caps Rangers one, because I think that there's some good history there.
I'm glad I keep going first if you agree with me with all these.
Yeah, guys. Well, I mean, you got good opinions, man.
those Caps Rangers series were always fun, and not to kind of jinx this from happening or anything, but, like, what were your favorite memories, both of JJ kind of, like, being around these series and watching them, and Carl playing in some of those Caps Rangers series?
Ooh, Caps Rangers.
Because we were younger. I wasn't quite even in the business yet for that Fedorov series, and that was before Carl got in the league. But so then ones after that.
I was not in the business during the Fedorov series, but I was a fan watching it in college. I remember being there with my roommate who was a Caps fan watching that game. And it's 1-1, a New York Rangers fan who was in our fraternity walks into the room to trash talk us, because that was a series the Capitals should have just completely dominated. It's game 7. It's 1-1 in the third period. He walks in to trash talk us as Fedorov scores, and he just – you know that Simpsons meme where
the Grandpa Simpson,
Grandpa just turns around and walks right out. That's exactly what he just turned around, walked back out, didn't see him the rest of the night. So, you know, this is a little bit before I was in the business, but that was definitely my favorite memory from
those. That's unreal. I mean, for me, it was we had that one. We had a couple, you know, good battles against them, but I think it was the playoffs. Is that when Bruce said that he doesn't really even hear the fans?
And then they chanted, "Can you hear us?"
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I think that would probably be it for me. Just hearing like I get so many good memories from buildings. You know, a building that was loud and something will stick out. You know, going into it knowing that it's going to be just crazy. That to me is what sticks out for me, and that's probably why. Like, so when I started out, every time I went to MSG, I was terrible. I was a minus player every single game. Yeah, probably for the first 2 or 3 years at least. And then starting to play some playoff series against them. And, you know, you have to play the team that many times. It just started to get a little bit better. And Yeah, I don't know if you can pull that up. If that's what you're doing right now, I'd be curious to see. But I'm pretty sure I was -2, -3 quite a few times at the beginning.
No, I was going to ask you, do you remember how that Can You Hear Us game ended?
Did we win that game?
That was the Jason Chimera double overtime
goal. Yeah, there you go. Yes, I knew I had good memories for a reason.
Yeah, I was in the building that night. That was one of the more fun nights, kind of being in this business. When we come back on All's Caps, a little more talking with JJ Reagan, just about covering the Capitals, what he sees in this team right now, and of course later on, Carl's stupid questions. Welcome back to All's Caps with former Capitals defenseman Carl Alsner and NBC Sports Washington's JJ Reagan. I am AP hockey writer Steve Wino. JJ, like you cover this team for a little bit now. I'm just curious, very big picture, 10,000 feet. And I know going into the playoffs in 18, we probably thought, yeah, this team doesn't have it. The window's closed. I just want, from your 10,000 feet opinion, being around this team for so long, where you think this team is at right now, because we're not far from a game one of the playoffs here, and you're starting to get a sense of what this team is, some of the chemistry, some of the line combinations that Peter Laviolette might be working with here.
Yeah, they're definitely building something, it feels like. Ever since the dreaded players-only meeting, and that seemed to work and spark them, it seems like they're starting to build some chemistry. They're playing better. There was the blip against Toronto, but overall, their offense seems to have caught fire, absolutely. I like some of the line combinations we're starting to see with what Peter Laviolette's doing there. But the big question, as always, and the thing that can undo you or make or break your playoffs is goaltending. And goaltending, to me, is just as much a question mark now as it was a few months ago. I don't share the same optimism people have with Vitek Vanacek. He's done better than I could have ever expected, having watched him from training camps year over year over the year. There, a few years ago, there was a training camp where he was going to get the start, and I saw him in the morning skate, and I thought, this guy will be lucky to get 750 tonight. Oh my gosh, how is he going to do? And he's completely exceeded my expectations. Good on him. I still don't see him as a number one in the NHL. And I think there is a sense, I think people are making a leap of, I don't like Ilya Samsonov, or I don't trust Ilya Samsonov, therefore Vitek Vanacek is an NHL number one goalie. And it's like, those two things don't necessarily equal one another. You can have more faith in Vitek Vanacek, but I'm not sure that I see the same optimism other people do. One of those guys is going to have to catch fire for the Caps to have a chance, but I like the way the offense is shaking out overall, if they can stay healthy.
Yeah. I think going back to the goalies there, I think what I like about Vitek is that he seems better. You know, he seems like he's moving like in unison, his body does things together. And he's, I think, compact. That's maybe what gives, yeah, he's a little bit more compact looking. I mean, maybe that's what gives me the confidence in him. It feels like he's doing things the right way. Whereas with Samsonov, he's probably, I don't know for sure, but it seems maybe like a little bit more athletic, you know, like he can,
for sure,
yeah, a little bit more of an acrobat in there. And while that gives you some nice flash every now and then, I think it leads to maybe a few more holes. And on the off days, it's a little bit worse. So I guess maybe that's, what I see in Vanacek. And then in terms of just the way that the lines and stuff are shaking out, I'm curious, like while you're talking, I was just trying to think, because we talked about the Islanders fourth line, but just going back, like in history over the last 15 or so years, like, has there been a line that the Caps have had that has really like stuck out as being like, that's the line, you know? Like, I know that there's been a bit of a revolving door of the winger with Nicky and Ovi a bunch of years back, and now Nicky and Kuzi kind of, you switch and interchange quite often, but like, have we had a line like that's just been super consistent that everybody loves?
Well, Hagelin down Hathaway was that, right, JJ?
It was that, yeah.
That was the consistent one. The other one that unfortunately got broken up a little bit was Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Wilson. I've always loved that line. That it was a huge factor in the playoffs. And then it sort of I find it funny that they trade for Marcus Johansson, and all of a sudden they have to figure out who the winger on the top line is. Wait a minute, you added a guy and now you don't have a top line player. And I get it. They're trying to spread the wealth a little bit, so moving Wilson, and it certainly seems to have worked, because Mantha, Eller, Wilson seems to have caught fire. That line looks great lately. So, that's why Laviolette makes the big bucks, and I'm writing from the press box rather than behind the bench, I guess. But, you know, yeah, the fourth line for the Cats is such an asset for them in that you've got, if you can get the combos right and get consistent scoring from the top three, you also have that fourth line. It's just a pain in the ass to play against that can hem you in your own zone and score a goal now and then. So a huge asset for the Cavs.
Carl, is it too much? Like, is loading up Wilson on the top line too much? Because, I don't think you ever imagined Marcus Johansson as a top-line winger. I know he started there. But, like, you're not trading for Marcus thinking we've just got a top-line winger to play with Ovi and Kuzi in that spot. But is Connor Sherry really that guy? It feels like if TJ Oshie doesn't maybe have his legs under him and you want to maybe keep his ice time limited, that there's a major problem of how do you keep maybe an Eller, Mantha, Wilson line together, but also make sure the top line has some sort of element beyond Ovechkin and Kuznetsov.
Yeah, well, I think that at times, you know, to spice things up, they'll change it, and they know that they have a bit of a weapon bringing Tom up to the top line. But I think Connor Sherry's been good on that first line. You know, I think he brings that element of like tenacity and finish as well. You know, he's good in front of the net. He's proven playoff performer as well. So yeah,
he's played with Sid before too. So it's not surprising.
Absolutely, yeah. So I think that that's I think he's actually a pretty darn good fit on that line. I think we all love the Eller Mantha Wilson line right now. They've been solid, and that's a just big bodies. You know, like that's a kind of an intimidating line to come out and start against. You know, first face off of the playoffs. You know, and they go ahead and dump the puck in and come after you, right? So I think that line is solid, and so then yeah. So it brings me to that the second line. How that one's going to shake out, right? Because there's some good players, like really good players that can be on it. It's just finding the right combination, the right chemistry, and when they're going. Like, I love JoJo. I think he's a solid player. He skates well, passes well, sees the game really well. But, you know, he's been gone for a few years, and there's new players. And so trying to get him back into the swing of things with the system.
It's taking a while, right? Like, this is, like, it's taking a while for him to kind of find his footing here still.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't have a whole lot of time. The team doesn't have a whole lot of time. So it's trying to figure out where he fits in. And then the fourth line is the best, most consistent line pretty much all season. So you don't really want to mess with that a whole lot. So I think what it is, it's nice to have options, right? There's going to be injuries. Guys are going to be bogged down at some point. So, you know, you have players that can slot in here and there. But yeah, ideally, you'd like to have these sorted out at this point.
Sure. And one off the ice question, because like JJ and I are around the team fairly often at MedStar and after games and all that sort of thing. I'm curious, JJ, your vibe of this team, kind of the mood of this team, because to me, it's been a roller coaster. It's been a lot of, there are some really good moods and there's some down moods, and it's hard to stay consistent. But like, do you have a sense for kind of the vibe around this team and kind of what we're going to see when, I guess it's that Sunday before the playoffs and they're going to get ready for a first round series?
Yeah, so they've always been a tight-knit group. That, you know, something that I always talk about is how much they like their locker room, how much they like the vibe there, the chemistry there. That's something that they've always been big on. But to me, it feels like they circled the wagons a little bit more. They're a little bit more private with what goes on in that locker room. They're a little bit more, you know, oh, that's going to stay in the room. Or, you know, we always laugh about Laviolette. They're working through things in the room. But, you know, it's harder to get some of the players to open up about things than it used to be. And that part of that may just be the nature of doing these things on Zoom rather than being able to go into the locker room and just shoot the breeze with some of these players and you know, just hang out with them. So it feels like, I think they're still loose. I still think they like being there. I still think they like being together, and they still have that sense of camaraderie that has been an asset for this team. But I wonder if there's a sense of seriousness that's coming with this year. Maybe it's because they realize that they're getting older and, you know, those cracks are starting to show and how many more kicks at the can they're going to get. But it seems like they're really circling the wagons a little bit and being a little bit more tight-lipped about a few things this year.
Do you sense that too, Carl?
Yeah, I also think it makes a difference too with where you are in the standings, right? If you're at the top of the standings, everything's fine. You know, coaches are always happy, players are always happy. You can get away with saying a little bit more and having a little bit more fun. So when things are up and down, and you know, you don't have it, I guess a lot of times it's when you have those winning streaks, right? You go 4 or 5 games with a win, maybe one loss, and then 3 or 4 with a win. Like that's a consistent happy dressing room. When you go 1-1, 1-1, or two, whatever. Like, you know, almost any time after a loss, the dressing room comes down, right? Doesn't matter how tight of a team you are, things get a little bit more quiet. And so with so much up and down this season, that probably doesn't help with the excitement, I guess, when you're answering questions and just, you know, showing off on social media or whatever it is too. So I think that probably puts a little bit of a damper on things, but I've noticed a little bit of that as well. Just in talking to the guys and stuff, that things seem to be like busy, you know, there's just so much going on with everything right now that doesn't seem like there's as much time for just, you know, messing around, having fun, being that Washington Capitals team that I think a lot of fans have kind of grown to love, because they're clearly a team that likes to have fun.
Absolutely. And I did look it up before we go. Your first four games in Madison Square Garden, -3, -3, +1, -2. Just so we can AP fact check that one. When we come back on All's Caps, JJ Reagan will be the latest victim of Carl's stupid question. Welcome back to All's Caps with former Capitals defenseman Carl Alzer and NBC Sports Washington's JJ Reagan. As we were just talking on the break, there was an empty net assist that Carl had in his third game at Madison Square Garden for a point on a Brooks-like empty net goal. So congratulations on that, Carl. And now, of course, for your favorite portion of the show, Carl's Stupid Questions.
Yeah, thanks for fact-checking that, Wino. And I'm happy that we have another guest that knows what's going on with these questions, so we don't have to explain it a whole lot. So, JJ, I got a couple new ones in here. So, yeah, hopefully we can spice it up a little bit. But give us your best, most honest, or best lie of an answer so we can give you some points here. Okay. I don't know if you have a sweet tooth at all, but I do. What is the best dessert?
The best dessert? Oh, okay. Yeah. It's good. For me, it's apple pie with some vanilla ice cream. I love the apple. I'm not a huge chocolate guy, but I do love chocolate with peanut butter. I think that is, I'm big Reese's. But in terms of dessert, when you're sitting down at a restaurant and having dessert, it's got to have apple and it's got to have vanilla ice cream in it.
Oh, nice. Okay. Do you like more of like a thick crust or more filling?
Oh, so it depends on the crust. So the kind where you got like the caramelized sugar on top, that kind of thing, where it crunches when you bite into it, that I'm into that. If it's just, you know, like a butter crust, okay, it's good, not great.
You want some textures.
Whipped cream or just the vanilla ice cream?
I'm not a whipped cream guy. No.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Classic. Apple pie. I love it. Okay. This one I thought of today, so it's kind of a new one. Of these three superpowers, which one would you like to have the most? Or maybe we can even rank them if you feel like it, but for sure, which one you'd like to have most. Okay. And they're not your classic superpowers. All right. So remembering everything. So essentially a photographic memory, but let's go with like one step above photographic memory, because there are people that have that. Communicate to all living creatures, so all animals, fish, birds, whatever it is, you can communicate to them. So for me, that's great, because you could go into the ocean and talk to the sharks and be like, don't eat me, you know, like I'm safe. So for me, that's a good one.
Okay.
Or you have super hearing, but not to the point where it's annoying, you know, like where you just hear everything all the time and it's messing you up. You can sort through all the voices or all the noises that you can have. So like, let's say like a, like dog hearing on like steroids, like to another level. So yeah. Super hearing, communicate to all animals, or being able to remember absolutely everything.
Well, super hearing, I feel like I would just hear everything, all the bad stuff that everyone says about me behind my back all the time. So I'm or not the sure good stuff, positive.
Or the good stuff. Oh, that JJ, he's the man.
Yeah, that's what everyone does behind closed doors whenever I leave. Oh, boy, it's too bad he's gone. So I feel like that would be a net negative. I'm intrigued by the animals one, but just because you tell a shark not to eat you doesn't mean he's going to listen. So
that's fair.
The remembering everything, I think, is a big bonus because I'm married. And so that would come in very handy in all those arguments of, I told you, no, you didn't. And you know I'm right because I remember literally everything. So I would definitely do the memory one.
That's awesome.
I love the rationale for that one.
Yes. Yeah, that's my favorite. When someone can justify why they chose that, like, and it makes sense, that's perfect. I needed that. I brought this. I thought of this one today because of a rule that was enforced recently in this one sport that we can talk about after. But What's of all the sports, which one do you think has the most confusing rules?
The most confusing rules. So I think that ultimately baseball has the most confusing rules because, you know, from an objective observer, you think, okay, so you just hit the ball and hit the bat. But, you know, oh, if you hit the ball in this area, you don't really have to catch it because it will still be an out. And if you hit it and it, you know, it rolls from here past this line, well, now you don't have to run anymore. It's not a big deal. So I think there's a lot more rules that go into baseball that people would think. But ultimately, see, I'm talking myself out of this one. Ultimately, football. I played football in high school. I still don't understand half the rules of football. I've watched this my entire life. It's still, oh, you know, illegal formation because this guy was 90 degrees behind this guy and it's Tuesday. And on Tuesdays during the winter solstice, if this guy is that many degrees behind, it's an illegal formation. You used to go, what are they talking about? So, first thought was baseball, but after thinking about it, I think it's definitely football. So many rules involved.
Have you guys been like try to talk baseball or explain baseball rules to your kids? Like, are that's to me going to a baseball game, and especially with adults. Like, I've gone to baseball games with people who don't know what's going on, and it's one of the more frustrating experiences because it doesn't make any sense. But if you've watched it, you understand it.
Correct, but I will tell you that no one. See, here's the thing. Here's the difference. People have to explain baseball to you, and you eventually get there. Football, no one ever explains you the game of football. You either grow up watching it or you don't. And if you don't, then you never really pick it up. I've tried to explain football to my wife so many times, but she doesn't get it because she didn't grow up watching it. It's just one of those games that you have to grow up watching. Otherwise, you have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. When you think about like it, someone who's never seen it before and all these whistles are happening, like then commercials and all this stuff, there's just so much that goes into it. Like having to, the thing that bugs the heck out of me is after they've kicked an extra point, then there's the kickoff there that goes right through the back, you know, it's pointless. And then we go back to another commercial. I know it's not really a rule, but it's stupid. It just bugs the heck out of me. But I think there's a lot of sports that have kind of like rugby has a lot of weird rules as well. Cricket is kind of strange, but this happened recently, and you guys need to look at it at some point. Dylan Fratelli, golfer, he hit a ball and it got stuck in like the branches. It's like a weeping willow tree, and the ball got stuck. So suspended in the air. So the only way he can hit it is pretty much like by knocking it out of the tree, right? So he knocks it out of the tree onto the green and then makes the putt for par. Crazy, right? That he even did that. And right after that happens, he was given a 2-stroke penalty for standing aside his ball. So instead of doing it like this, he hit it like this, which is illegal in golf, and got a 2-stroke penalty while the rules official was watching all this happen. I'm like that's just the dumbest thing ever. Like, the guy just hit the ball out of a branch suspended in the air. Like, that was a sweet play. So for me, it's golf, but sorry, I just had to bring that up today because I saw it and I was losing my mind out of frustration. So I agree with you, though. Football is a tough sport. Let me write that down. Okay, so now I need to know what your favorite and least favorite fruit is.
Favorite and least favorite. All right, so favorite is raspberries. They do not get the credit they deserve. I love all berries. Raspberries, for sure, the top one. So good. Least favorite fruit. Let's see. I'm not a fan of kiwi.
Kiwi.
It tastes okay. The fur kind of freaks me out. I don't like fur in my fruit. There are too many the seed to fruit ratio is way off. It's just completely off. And so that bugs me. Too much fur and too many seeds.
Have you ever, so I'm assuming you've never eaten a kiwi skin and all?
No.
You got to try it. It's awesome. Okay. But just on raspberries, great. I totally agree. Great fruit. The most frustrating, that and avocado are so frustrating with all of a sudden there's mold all over the container. And
that's true. And the one thing about raspberries, I love them, but the seed is the exact same width as my teeth. And so it will sit there on top of my tooth and I cannot get it out for the life of me. It is the exact perfect whiff to just sit there on top of my teeth. So very frustrating, but well worth it.
Perfect. Okay. I don't know if you care about cars at all, but what would be your dream car?
Ford Mustang.
Ooh, what year?
Ooh, I'm not into the vintage, so I could do the recent, but definitely like deep blue.
Deep blue. Ooh, love it. Okay. Ford Mustang. Okay. And then, okay. So I asked this one just recently and I thought it was a pretty cool question. If you could have the exclusive interview, the tell all, they wouldn't hold anything back from you. The person has to be living though. Who would it be? Who would you ask to talk to?
The tell all wouldn't exclude anything. Okay. So for me, it would be Michael Jordan. The reason being, you know, all time great player, but with all the interviews of all the documentaries of everything, there's still so many questions that people have for this guy. What really happened in the flu game? Oh, you know, it was really food poisoning. No, it wasn't. He was totally hungover and all that. And then, you know, what happened the year that he was out of baseball? Was it really a secret suspension and all that? And like, I would love to know the answers to all those questions. I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. I think, you know, when the head of the CIA can't keep the fact that he's having an affair secret, I doubt very much that Michael Jordan could get suspended for a year and nobody knows that this ever happened. But with all everything that we know about Michael Jordan, the fact that there's still so many questions that people would love to know from this guy, that would be my big one.
Yeah, I think that would be an unreal one. Actually, I'd love to hear everything he has to say. Okay, so that's six. Let me quickly add this up, so we only have a couple minutes left here.
I just want to be Andrew Gillis. That's really my only goal.
I mean, he had a pretty sweet score though.
Did he?
Yeah, that's gonna be tough. But I liked your apple pie. Remember everything was good. Football, it's definitely up there. Raspberry kiwis, yeah, I like kiwis. That's a tough one. Mustang, okay. MJ, great. I think you end up with 120 points, which is unfortunately not close to Andrew Gillis, but there's nothing we can do about it. He has the third all-time score. So
really?
Yes. Really?
Oh, okay. All right.
But well, still very solid.
This is just like Whose Line Is It Anyway? It's all made up and the points don't matter. We've enjoyed having you on Talking Caps. JJ, thanks for joining us on Oz Caps.
Oh, the pleasure was all mine, especially Carl's stupid questions.
and Carl, have a great trip to Vegas. Hope you enjoy it out there. And then the Capitals need to win some games on this road trip, right?
Yes, they do. Yeah, we're looking for some wins here. Spoil the parade for Vegas trying to get into the playoffs here.
Yeah, I don't think that would make anybody unhappy outside of Vegas, to be fair, at this point. But other than our friend George McPhee. Thank you, everybody, for listening to us on Oz Caps, and we'll talk to you next week.